Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 165, Fresh Homemade Pasta with Local Aromas. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Roger, your host. And of course, this is the podcast that is all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having fun, learning things, growing our skills, gaining confidence. And today I have a really, really great episode lined up for you. If you are at all interested in making fresh homemade pasta, or perhaps you've tried it once or twice and you want to get back to it, or even if you're a fresh homemade pasta pro, I guarantee you, you're going to hear something in this episode that is going to up your pasta game. In just a moment, I'm going to be bringing you two fantastic women behind the Rome-based Local Aromas food experience company. They are known for doing fantastic food experience tours in Italy, but as of late, they've actually, like so many folks have during this pandemic, have gone online in new and interesting ways, and they've launched an online cooking school. But today they're going to be here to talk about one of their obvious passions, and you'll hear it in their voices when they talk about it, fresh homemade pasta. We're going to get to that in a minute. But before I do, of course, a couple of bits of housekeeping here. One, and most importantly, whatever you hear in this episode, if you're interested in learning a little bit more or getting the links, I have a show notes page just for this episode that you'll be able to find over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/165. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/165. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me directly, the best way to do that is to send an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. And another great place, if you want to get in a little bit more interaction with me and some of the other great folks in our community, you might want to consider joining our private Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. We have a growing and really great group of folks in there. We're always happy to share what we know about home cooking, equipment ideas, recipe ideas. We share lots of pictures. We ask lots of fun questions. It's just really, really a good group. So if Facebook's your thing, I definitely recommend checking that out. And you can easily find that just by heading over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Okay, so back to the matter at hand, fresh homemade pasta. So on the show today, as I mentioned a moment ago, I'm so excited to welcome two members of the Bianchini family, Valeria and Benedetta. They are sisters behind the fantastic company Local Aromas, based in Rome, Italy. So we actually were able to chat halfway across the world. I think it was quite early in the morning my time and afternoon their time, but we had a really, really good chat about pasta. Now, as you'll come to find out through the conversation, again, Benedetta and Valeria have a passion for local food, wine, and experiences in their home country of Italy. But you know, it goes beyond that too. For example, Benedetta is a wine sommelier, an olive oil sommelier, a professional cheese taster. Valeria is a trained pastry chef. So they are not only very knowledgeable about their local culture, of course, they have the food chops to back it up. And as I also mentioned, Local Aromas, although they've traditionally, as I understand it, done local tours and food experiences, they have gone online to launch a online cooking school that they call Italian Home Cooking Made Simple. You should go check it out. And again, I'll put a link to their class, online class, and their website and all their social media and everything in the show notes over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/165. But they have an entire class that is focused on fresh homemade pasta, or I should say a course within their Italian Home Cooking Made Simple collection. So right now they've got a homemade pasta, they've got homemade gnocchi, they've got an Italian wine guide that they've put up there. I'm looking at their coming soon. In October, it says they're going to have homemade lasagna, the complete guide. In December of 2020, they're going to have homemade pizza and focaccia, the complete guide. So look, Lots of good stuff happening over there at their online course. So head over to the show notes and check that out. But look, I don't want to keep you from them anymore. We had a really great time talking. They're a lot of fun. They have a great sibling energy going on. And really, they were just delightful to talk to. And I learned a lot about fresh homemade pasta. And I have a feeling you will too. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Valeria and Benedetta Bianchini of Local Aromas. Well, hey, everybody. I'm here with Valeria and Benedetta with Local Aromas. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about fresh homemade pasta. And so thank you both for being here.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Roger. It's great to be able to, you know, to talk about something that we love.
Yeah, I love it too. And a lot of my listeners love it. And a lot of my listeners don't know how to make it or have tried it a couple of times and maybe have run into some stumbling blocks or just want some good tips for, you know, how to do fresh homemade pasta. And when I make fresh homemade pasta, I am very limited in the types of pasta I tend to make. You know, egg pasta, egg noodles are my go-to, but, you know, occasionally a ravioli or a lasagna noodle or a fettuccine. But beyond that, you know, I don't get too experimental. So maybe we can talk about how we can broaden our horizons in a little bit.
Yeah, because there is a world out there.
There is
a world. Imagine that in Italy, we have over 300 different types of pastas. So you really got to, you know, get your horizons really out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. 300 might be a stretch for me, but maybe we can get to a few more at least. Now, this is cool because you run a cooking school, actually an in-person cooking school, right? Local Aromas in Rome, Italy. But of course, due to the pandemic, we're doing things a little bit differently. Do you want to just take a couple of minutes for each of you and just kind of explain your background and you know, why we're talking today?
Well, we're talking today because, you know, my sister and I have at the end, we specialized in what we love the most. We've been working in tourism and hospitality for like many, many years. And we gradually decided to specialize in one part of that and to be able to offer, because, you know, we are 100% Italian. We were born in Italy. Our parents are Italian. All our family is Italian. And food is our passion, thanks, you know, to our mom. She is one of those moms that cooks all day and she's just very eager. And she, you know, she gave that to us when we saw that just by looking at her. And so we gradually, Benedetta became a wine sommelier, and she's an olive oil sommelier and a professional cheese taster. I went through my passion with pastry and I became a trained pastry chef. And just food in Italy, you know, food in Italy is so much more than just food. It is a culture. It brings back memories. There are traditions, and there's so much story behind each ingredient and each dish and each recipe that at the end, we thought we just couldn't keep it for ourselves. And so that is what we did. We decided to open our own company, which is called Local Aromas. It's family run. Our mom is one of our chefs. And it's wonderful. And so we do in-person cooking classes. Right, Benny?
Yes, we do in cooking classes here in our incredible location in Rome. And then, you know, things change, we evolve. And now we created this, we moved online.
Yeah, and this is very cool because I'll share some notes or a link in the show notes for your cooking school. And actually, you have a ton of really cool YouTube videos. I mean, you have a lot of great resources. And your mom is fantastic. She's in some of the videos, and she's absolutely delightful.
Yes. She is. She's adorable.
Like the Italian grandmother I've never seen. So. So why don't we hop into some topics on actual homemade fresh pasta? And sure. I think maybe we can just look at this as sort of an intro or a, you know, fresh pasta 101, whatever we want to call it. And maybe just hit some of the high points of what people really need to know when it comes to making fresh pasta at home. And I actually asked the question in my Facebook group and I shared some of the questions that people had with you. And probably the first place to start is I'll just act like I'm a total novice. What do I actually need to make homemade pasta in my kitchen? Do I need a pasta roller, a mixer, specialized equipment?
So to make pasta, people get really intimidated by making pasta, thinking that it is, you know, an incredibly complex process. It can be really simple. I mean, making pasta is a moment of joy, a moment of pleasure, and it's really, really simple. All you need to make pasta is patience, flour, and that obviously depending on what kind of pasta you're making is, we would recommend a pasta machine, a very simple pasta machine. Nothing elaborate, nothing electric. You don't have to go. You can also learn how to roll pasta with a rolling pin, but that is an art that is extremely complicated. There is actually a, would you call it a career, a category of people called sfollina that they learn how to roll pasta. It's not that easy. So a very simple rolling machine, that's all you need to make everything.
Well, first thing that comes up when you ask somebody about fresh homemade pasta, you know, what is fresh homemade pasta? They instantly think about the flour and egg pasta, fettuccine, ravioli. But you have to consider that. I mean, pasta has been around for centuries. I mean, for like history. And it was just, well, it started off with just plain water and flour, or water and whatever cereal they had. So there are many, many shapes of fresh homemade pasta that exist today, and it was like very similar to how it was made, because at the beginning the utensils used were hands, were sticks, or like our nonnas would make them with a knitting wire. And I mean, there's so many different shapes, because you have to consider that Italian cuisine is poor cuisine. It's peasant cuisine. So you do things with what you have, and you use the ingredients that you have, and you don't throw anything away. And so, yes, today, if you were to use the machine, the stainless steel pasta machine is great if you're making egg pasta. There are so many other shapes that it is not necessary. You use your hand, you use a fork, you use very basic. And we can talk about the flour. I mean, the different types, right, Benny?
Yes, because it's fun. It is so much fun. Once you learn them, you get addicted.
Yeah, I can imagine. Maybe the next natural step then is, let's talk about the flour that we need to use for pasta. Because we had a little conversation earlier about the various types of flours. And, you know, in the United States, oftentimes recipes just call for all-purpose flour. But I know it's a lot more, there's a lot more variety than that. And if you want to make authentic Italian pasta, maybe that's not exactly the way to go. So maybe
An answer that Valeria will answer, because she knows everything about pasta, gluten, and proteins. And Valeria,
we won't get complicated in that. The problem is that, you know, there's so many different flours in the world. And for instance, in Italy, we do not have all-purpose flour, which is, I went to study it, and it's actually a half and half mixture of hard wheat flour and soft wheat flour. We don't have it. We have different varieties of soft wheat. And so when you make, when it would be best to use the flour in the recipe. So let me talk about the flours that we have in Italy, because that's the only kind of flours that we could talk about. So when you make certain type of pastas, like for instance, when you buy, you know, the packet stored pasta, the dried pasta that you buy at the supermarket, that is made, you see the color is yellow. And that is made with a hard wheat flour, which we call semola. And many fresh homemade pastas are made with that flour. It sort of looks like corn. It looks like corn, cornmeal, sort of like texture. And that is a very, very tough dough. So that is good just for some types of pastas. You do not use that to make stuffed pasta, but you make many, many different pasta shapes with that. And all you need to do is use one part of the semola flour and half a part of water, preferably warm.
Lukewarm.
Water. Yeah. Lukewarm water, which is good because it helps all the gluten part. And instead, we do that with one type of flour. That is a very strong, very, very tough dough. And the other kind of flour that we use is soft wheat flour. In Italy, we have different kinds, and the kinds that we use for pasta is the zero type, it's called. It's just white flour. And that is the type of flour that you use with eggs. When you make the fettuccine, the ravioli, that's what you use it with. You can also use it with water, but it's a very weak flour. You can make, that's probably how our ancestors used it. And that's like very, very basic pasta shapes. So white flour, plain white flour, you use it for the egg recipe. I mean, you can use all-purpose flour because, of course, you need to do it with what you have, with what you can find, you know. So all-purpose flour is okay. We've had many of the people that do cooking classes with us say, I went home and I just had all-purpose flour and they made fettuccine with that. So it's okay, you know. You have to play around and test it out to see what works for you in your city and what you find at the supermarket.
You know, most grocery stores, I think in most metropolitan areas, at least have a wide variety of flours. And of course, you can buy things online, right? And people could order,
of course,
you know, flour online that they can't find in their local grocery store. But yeah, I've made my fair share of pasta with all-purpose flour. And, you know, for egg noodles, it works fine. That's the way my mom always did it because that's what she always had. To your point, Valeria, you have to use what you
had. Exactly. You have to use what you had. You know, here in the pandemic, we had difficulty at a certain point finding flour too. And so, you know, zero flour, you use double zero or you would mix it up. But usually, you know, you do what you can with what you have.
Exactly. I've got a couple more questions to go through with you. And then maybe we can tackle some specific questions that people had. But you mentioned something, Benedetta, I think, or both of you did actually, about the water temperature. So what are some of those, there's some factors, right? It's not just flour and water and salt or flour, water, salt, and egg. There are some other factors like water temperature or when you're kneading your pasta dough, you could probably overwork it, right? So what are some of those factors that you have to watch out for?
So when making semola and lukewarm water, so semola, as Valeria said, looks like cornmeal. So when you you use 100 grams of semola, you use the half of the quantity of lukewarm water because it blends it better. It helps create elasticity a little bit faster. And then you have to knead it for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
For at least 10 minutes. And you will see that it will start turning soft. At the end, when it's ready, when you make this kind of pasta to make, I don't know, orecchiette or fusilli or cavatelli, it's going to feel velvety. It's going to feel like velvet. Like when you caress it, it's velvet. And then you just wrap it up and you leave it to rest for at least an hour. When you do pasta that you would be doing for fettuccine, again, you put the flour, you use the egg, and then you start mixing the egg with the fork and you gradually incorporate all the flour. And there again, once the egg is not running all over the place, you use your hands and you knead it with the palm of your hands. You pull and you fold, you pull and you fold again for about 10 minutes. Yeah. It also depends on the quantity of pasta, but at least 10 minutes. And then again, you wrap it and leave it to rest for at least an hour. It is very important. The resting time is so important because so many times we've done cooking classes and they're like, oh, but I never leave mine to rest. After you create the pasta is stressed. It has to rest. The gluten net has to form. And so it is so important for it to rest because that makes a world of a difference in the final result.
Yeah, because it relaxes. And so like all the elasticity softens. So like when you finish kneading it, we in Italian, we say that the pasta is stressed. So it's tough. And you give it that time to relax, to chill out in the fridge. You have to wrap it in plastic wrap so it doesn't dry out with the air. You leave it depending on the temperatures, but you know, you can leave it out in on the counter if it's not, you know, boiling hot. And an hour, depending from half an hour to an hour is extremely important so that then you can create, if you're making egg pasta, the very thin kind of pasta sheets that you need either to make lasagna or to make stuffed pasta. So that is something that is probably a little overlooked, is the resting time.
And let's face it, if it's your first attempt at making fresh pasta, you probably need some resting time too.
Exactly. You do.
Exactly.
So you mentioned something that I think is very important, and I always try to bring up whenever a guest mentions it, and that you referenced a measurement in grams. And in the United States, a lot of bakers or folks in the kitchen use cups, measuring cups and things like that, measuring spoons. So I always let people know, if you can get a kitchen scale, get a kitchen scale.
So my sister, she's a trained pastry chef, okay? And trained pastry chefs are very, very particular, because everything, I mean, you know, pastry chef is science. So when she gives me her recipes, she's like 78 grams of egg. And you're like, what? You know, for example, I found out that not all eggs were created equal. They have different sizes. And so 100 grams, I mean, you buy a scale, it just, you know, because one cup, you grab a cup, how compact is the cup? Is there a lot of air inside? Do you smash the cup? The final result will always be different. So a scale, very simple. You weigh 100 grams and then you use an egg, or 100 grams and 50 grams of water. Because by cups, it's not precise at all.
Right. So, and they're inexpensive. Kitchen scales, you can get a nice digital scale for practically
$10.
Nothing,
exactly.
Right.
And you use it for everything.
Everything. You know what one of my favorite kitchen hacks for, and this is probably just as easy to eyeball, but like when I'm making hamburgers for a barbecue, okay, I use a kitchen scale to weigh out my portions. So every hamburger is exactly the same size.
You know,
gosh, that
my sister teases me, because when I make like meatballs, I weigh them, and so they're like about 15 grams each, because so exactly. And my sister says,
I cannot believe this. There's another person like you, Valeria.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Roger.
I found my kitchen scale soulmate. Okay.
Yes. I'm not the only
No, it makes perfect sense. I understand. I don't do it, but I understand. I don't judge, but I understand.
Yeah, we are in no judges on here.
No, because then once you master, like, you know, you can make a dough and it turns out fine, then you can go colorful. I'm just saying. You can add color, like real color from real vegetables, and that is fun. And it's fun also if you have children or just to cook together. It creates such a bonding moment. I love making colored pasta.
But color doesn't mean that you get like three drops of green and five. It means that like there are different kind of colors, because it's actually traditional to some regions of Italy. So when you see a green dough, it's been made with spinach. Or an orangish dough, you can either use carrots. They don't add flavor, because you're just using like 2-3 tablespoons of like the puree. And you can actually make many different, you can actually make some pasta shapes just with a colored dough, or you can have fun like creating stripes. And it's actually something that it's a wow factor. So it looks like you went way out of your comfort zone, but you didn't, because you were just exactly making the same type of pasta. So you can really wow your family and friends with your knowledge of something that looks extremely difficult, but at the end of the day is exactly like making regular pasta.
I do have one question that occurred to me, and I forgot to ask when you mentioned it, Valeria. I think you mentioned a type of flour called semola.
Yes.
Is that... That's S-E-M-O-L-A?
Exactly. That is hard wheat flour.
And how does that differ from semolina, which we see a lot of here in the United
States? It's semolina. Well, it's the same. It's semola. Okay. We call it semola here. We also have semolina, but we bought it. We compared the two. And they're coarse flours. Oh, and one thing that is very important. So even if you're not using the semola, because it's a coarse flour, when you make homemade pasta, even if you're making the tortellini, whatever, as you make them, you will have to put them somewhere. So you either have a pasta dryer, which is like, it's a rack with like some little holes that it, or you get a tray. if you put thin flour, like white flour, the pasta, the fresh pasta is going to continue absorbing it. So if you have semolina flour, even if your pasta is not made with semolina, it's always best to use semolina flour. You like sprinkle it on the bottom and on the top as you're making the pasta, because that is not going to be absorbed by the fresh pasta. And when you put it in boiling water to cook, it's just going to fall off. So that is something, it's always good to have semolina flour in your kitchen, because that is the kind that you want to use as you are making pasta and laying it on the table or trays.
Now, we actually had a question in the group from Jay McGarry, and I think this is related. He said he finds ravioli easy, but when he dries long strands of pasta or puts them in bunches, they break apart.
Yes.
Is that related to what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah. So when you make, we're going to the topic of like storing pasta. So there are like three different ways that you can store pasta. It's always best to prepare it and to eat it within a few hours, because the pasta continues to absorb whatever it's around. Or if you have ravioli, it's going to soften. The stuffed part is going to soften yeah. the pasta. But so if you want to store pasta, what we say is it's always best to freeze. Of course, the long pasta, if you make fettuccine, tagliatelle, if you hang them and to dry, of course, they're going to break. The best thing to do is, as you're making them, you like weigh. You can get like little nests. You turn them around. You get little nests. You leave them out to dry a little bit. And then you put them on a tray inside the freezer. And once they freeze, you put them in a plastic bag in a container. And so you know that could be like each person you could just put them in the boiling water. When you have frozen pasta, so it's uncooked frozen pasta, you just grab it and you throw it directly into the boiling water. Because here's the problem. When you want to create nests, this is something to do with like the safety of the food when you dry it. Benny could tell you how to dry the single little pieces of pasta. But for long pasta, if you hang it, it's going to break. If you turn it around in nests, the inside will never dry out perfectly. So the risk is that mold will form in the center. So long pasta should be frozen. You create the portion and you freeze it if you want to store it.
Yeah, that is fantastic advice. That's really good.
Yeah, and one thing, so you never dry stuffed pasta. Again, for health issues.
Ever.
Never. You freeze. Freezing is the preferred way it's the safest way. Again, you put the things individually, you freeze them individually on a tray. Once they're frozen, then you put them together
in a container. This is really important, because if not, it all sticks together and it becomes a whole, you know, big thing of pasta. After all your hard work, you don't want to do that.
And what you are freezing is the made pasta. You don't freeze the dough. It's not like, okay, I'm going to prepare the dough today. I'm going to freeze it so next week I can use it. Because as it defrosts, it becomes sticky. You can't use it anymore. So you're freezing made pasta shapes. And Benny, why don't you talk about drying? Because you're like the expert of drying.
So I love doing semola pasta. So I orecchiette, fusilli, cavatelli, and those you leave to dry. I have these drying racks, and you just leave them to dry. Now here it's summer, so you just literally leave it outside in the sun. You turn it occasionally so that all the parts dry, and then I put them in a jar, one of those
mason.
Like the ones that you just seal that. You know, that keeps, that are airtight, and you know, and I have them until, you know, and then you use them until they're done, and then you redo them again. So you leave it a couple of days out in the air, and then they're fine. You just keep turning them and they're perfect.
Okay.
And this is for short pasta. It's like not for long.
Yes. Pasta. No. This is for
that it it's dried out completely again because
completely
of the mold.
Okay. That's very good. I never had thought about the mold issue with like the little pasta nets, but that's great, great advice.
No, because I did also like with short pasta, I did a lot once, like I did a lot. So the orecchiette did not dry perfectly well. And I put them into one of these airtight containers. And however, one of them was not perfectly dry, it molded and I had to throw out the entire batch. So you just, you know, leave them as long as they're fully dried and then you can store them for months.
Okay, let's talk about actually cooking. I've just made my very first batch of fresh, let's just say fettuccine or whatever.
Okay.
What do I do so I don't totally screw it up when I go to cook this fresh, beautiful pasta I just made?
So first and most important, and a lot of people take this for granted, but you toss your pasta in boiling hot water. Once the water boils, you add the salt. Fresh pasta, add a couple of drops of extra virgin olive oil, and then you throw your pasta. We usually do not add salt to the dough in any of the doughs. That's why you salt your water. It's not necessary to exaggerate with the salt. So you just put it in the water of the pasta, and that's fine. And fettuccine, once the water starts boiling again, depends how thick you made your fettuccine, because there too you can decide how thick you made them. And how al dente you like them, but 4 or 5 minutes, not more than that. And then you taste it. You pull one out and you try it. And when, you know, it's how you like it, and that you toss it and then you put it in the pan with whatever sauce you have. Because we always do that. We don't take the fettuccine and put them directly in the serving place. You always, you don't saute it. You pass it in the pan with the sauce because it just captures everything better. Mm-hmm. Right, Vale?
Yes. I mean, this is a very important thing that makes the difference between making the pasta the Italian way and not the Italian way. First of all, is if you're going to be eating your pasta with a cooked sauce, obviously if you're going to have pesto, you're not going to do this. But if like you have
of course, a
tomato sauce. So as you cook your pasta in a saucepan, which is big enough to hold all the pasta, the amount of pasta you're cooking, you turn on that saucepan. And when you feel that it's almost done, but you would give it like an extra minute, what you want, what does al dente mean? Dente means tooth. So when the pasta is al dente, it's soft on the inside, but it's still a little raw, slightly raw. So it gives a little crunchiness. It's not like it's not crunchy, but you can feel the heart. And so that is al dente. So it means that you take out the pasta. You can either drain it. So one important thing about draining, because these are all very obvious things for us. But if you're making delicate pasta, like soft pasta, you don't drain it. You use a slotted spoon and you just gradually take them out and you place them in the saucepan. One of the most precious things when cooking pasta is the starchy water, because the starch inside is gonna help emulsify the sauce. So as you put in the pasta, you're going to give it another minute in the saucepan together with the sauce to cook together. So it absorbs the flavors of the sauce and it releases a little bit more of its starch, emulsifying it and getting that little creaminess. If you feel that you need to add a little extra water, that's why the water is important, you add a little bit of the pasta water to create that.
Oh, that's very precious.
It's very precious. So that is why if you're draining the water, it's an automatic thing that we all do, is you get a mug full of that water and you just set it aside. You may not need it, but it's always best to have it, because then what do? You can't get tap water to just dilute the sauce. So that is very important. These little tricks
that make the difference.
We have a YouTube channel that, and we involved our mom. We have a YouTube channel which is called Local Aromas, and it is specialized. All we do is it's all about Italian food and wine. So what to eat or very Italian recipes. And since our mom is so much into cooking and she has all these tips that she only knows about. You know,
it's just she's
like, why didn't you ever tell me? But obviously, you know. And so we said, Mom, why don't you have your own little series? So our mom is called Giuliana. So she has a little inside the local aromas channel. There is Mama Giuliana's cooking tips. And she shows you in just like very short videos, 3 to 5 minutes, how to use a pasta machine, how to boil water, how to cook pasta, and how to do this and how to do ravioli if you have the stamps or if you don't have the stamps. It's just like all the basics that you would want your mom or your nonna to teach you.
To teach you.
She
does.
Do it. Yeah. And she had so much fun.
Yeah. And I've watched some of those videos. They are precious and just they're really good. And it's so funny because isn't it true that you go like my mom is not around anymore, but we try to make her recipes and they never quite turn out right. And I know
never.
It's because we don't have those couple of tips. Like we're just omitting steps that she probably did and didn't even know she did. Right.
Exactly. Because like my mom, our mom, she comes out with, oh, you know, she peels the tomatoes in a way. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I always do this. I'm like, you never told us, but it's obvious. I'm like, no, it's not. And like this, a ton. So yes, with her recipes, exactly. She does a couple of things that we're never going to try.
Her videos are also a way for us to, you know, just to have it there. It's just like our go-to place.
Yes.
So we don't have to ask her. How does mom do this?
I think that's so great. Let me ask a question. And we have a little bit of time left, but, and this is just sort of a sidebar. Do you have a beginner, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, recipe that I can share on my show notes? Like if you just want to make a very simple pasta dough.
Okay, so semolina flour is very simple. It's easy. You don't even need a pasta machine to make semolina, to make pasta with semolina flour. You prepare the dough. So you have 100 grams. You're going to have to buy a scale. 100 grams of semolina flour usually is for one person. So consider how many hungry mouths you have to feed, and then you multiply. So 100 grams of semolina flour, 50 grams of warm water. You mix everything together. You work the dough for at least 10 minutes and then you wrap it up and you leave it to rest for an hour. Then you take it out, you massage it again and you take pieces and you roll it out as if you were making a little snake. Like if you were making, I don't know, cookies, you just roll out the dough a little piece at the time. And when it's about your index finger thick, you take a knife. And you cut little pieces of about, gosh, you're going to have to do the conversions here, 1.5 centimeters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a half an inch. Or
half an inch.
Like 2 fingers.
Okay. Yeah. So, look, then you take your index finger, you put it in the center, and you press down and you pull it towards you. And there you have a cavatelli. Very simple. Like really, really easy and so much fun. And then you do the batch, you put it somewhere to dry, and then you continue. It is very, very important when you make pasta, always cover the piece that you're not using. So if you start making pasta, the rest, cover it up because it dries out. And this goes for any dough really quickly. And so you make cavatelli and they are delicious with just a very plain tomato sauce with a little bit of garlic and olive oil and basil I made them with clams the other day. Super simple and fun. That would be a perfect beginner's dish.
I love that. And I don't know how many people I know that have made that style of pasta, right? So like you said, Valeria, it's unusual, yeah, but very simple. So thank you for that. Can we talk about ravioli for just a second?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Because I think that, yes, I think that's a very popular style of pasta that home cooks want to learn how to make, right? Any quick tips for perfect ravioli? One of my challenges when I make ravioli is getting the thickness of the dough just right. You know, if it's too thick, then it overpowers the filling. If it's too thin, it falls apart when you go to cook it. Depending on what you put in the middle, right?
Of course. What you put in the middle is very, very important. And also how liquidy it is. Do you use a pasta machine to make your ravioli, to roll out your pasta?
Yeah, I have an atlas.
You have an atlas.
I can just roll out the sheets. Yeah.
So every pasta machine has its numbers. We live by it. My mom still has hers from when, you know, as a wedding gift, and our parents are going to be married 50 years this year. So for a while.
Wow.
And it goes from 1 to 9, 1 being the 0 being the largest and 9 being like paper thin. And I usually roll out my ravioli to 5. So that's a little somewhere in between. And it is important to work the ravioli quickly because, again, when the dough is in contact with the air, it dries out. If that is the case, always have a glass with a little bit of water, and so you can use it to seal the sides and close them. And ravioli, there's many, many different ways to make ravioli. You can use the folding method where you use a long stripe of pasta. You create an imaginary line in the middle. You overlap it once you have the stuffing put on one side. And it's important to always take the air out because if not, they explode inside the water. Mm. This is important.
I was about to say that.
That's good. Okay.
And
we don't want exploding ravioli.
No, you don't. No, you. Bad. So then if you don't have a ravioli stamp, you know, you can use a Vale, what do you call those wheels with the little dents, the pastry wheels?
Yeah, the pastry wheels. Or, you know, you can just cut it with a knife and then you seal them with a fork, I don't know what's it called?
The teeth of the fork. Yeah. Or if you don't, if you don't want to get so fancy, you just grab a glass and you just make round ravioli. You just, you put the dough, stuffing inside, and you close it you give it shape with the glass, and then you seal it with the fork. That is important so that what's inside doesn't go inside your water.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to talk about one other topic real quick. Valeria, we talked about this a little bit before we recorded, but it's a question that came up a couple of times in the group, and even though the answer might not be the answer everybody's looking for, I think it's important just to talk about it briefly, and that is this idea of gluten-free pasta, and is it possible to make fresh homemade pasta gluten-free or not?
I mean, you can make gluten-free pasta. Now, the problem is that there is no exact recipe, because when you look for a gluten-free recipe, what you will find is use your gluten-free mix. Now, gluten-free mixes change very much from one brand to the other. So imagine even from one country to the other. And because when you take out the gluten from the pasta, that's what holds everything together. So it is quite difficult to have the exact recipe. I would say if you need to eat gluten-free pasta, then try to experiment with your mix to see, because usually you may find the proportions, because I mean all you're doing is adding an egg or is adding water. I mean pasta is really basic. I mean, there are things that everybody has at home, and so you should experiment, because if you try to make gluten-free pasta using a corn mixed with rice flour and then a little bit of starch, that is very complicated. And we're testing it. We're testing it because we also have an online cooking school. It's called Italian Home Cooking Made Simple. So we have explored everything that we have been talking about today and more. And we have not yet, and we are working on it, have a gluten-free recipe, because we're not happy with the results that we've had. What we did find instead is for those who have an intolerance to egg, we have found the perfect recipe that allows you to get the same result as the egg pasta. So the elasticity that allows it to be extremely paper thin, as you need to make ravioli, fettuccine, using soy lecithin. So that is wonderful for all those people out there that have never been able to eat egg pasta because it contains egg. We've got this amazing recipe that, you know, you can get that same exact pasta shapes. So with all the scientifically correct things, and it's wonderful because that really helps all those people that haven't. Because obviously, if you're making pasta, the other kinds of pasta that use flour, obviously they're eggless. But here you've got the eggless type, but it's actually an eggless dough.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Is there anything else you two want to touch on, or we can start to wrap up, and you can share your website and your social media or whatever you want to share. And of course, I'll put all that in the show notes too. But is there anything we haven't talked about that we absolutely
should? No, something important that I think we should say, which is that if you have a pasta machine or if you buy a pasta machine, stainless steel, never wash it with water. That is.
With anything.
That is so important. I mean, with anything.
Yeah, that's a good question because what happens when all your pasta stays stuck inside, you just have to let it dry out. Once it dries out.
And then it just falls apart.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I just use like a pastry brush to brush it out just to get the.
See, but sometimes like, you know, you didn't, the dough is too wet. You didn't put enough flour to roll it. It just sticks inside. You know, just leave it to, it's going to dry out eventually. You just leave it to dry and then you just, you know, you use a brush or you just bash it, but never ever wash it. So many people are like, I wash it with, do you put it in the dishwasher? No, because it says in the instructions, but people don't read. And so this is super important.
Okay. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I love, I think people who are even remotely interested in making homemade pasta are going to find this conversation interesting, but also, you mentioned a second ago, Valeria, that you have, and I'll mention it at the beginning of the show too, this online cooking school. You actually have a whole course devoted to making pasta. I think it's your newest course. And of course, you have a lot of other great resources. So do you want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, well, we have put together all of our knowledge and all of the local knowledge in homemade pasta. And actually even gnocchi, we created an it's called Italian Home Cooking Made Simple course. It's our online cooking school. And every 2 months we publish a complete guide. It's actually more than a course. It's a complete guide too. So our very already published, we have the complete guide to homemade pasta. And we talk about everything. We cover everything we know and all the questions that we have been asked throughout these years about the flour. And as we tell you, you know, we give you the recipes and we give you the tips. We also tell you about the traditions because, as I was saying before, Italian cuisine is part of our culture. So there's a reason why these things exist. They just didn't happen. It's storytelling. It's the best part about cooking. And we have put all this knowledge together in our online cooking school. Now we have homemade pasta. We also have gnocchi, and we are about to publish the Italian wines. And every 2 months, we come up and we publish like the complete guide to a specific subject on Italian cuisine.
If folks want to follow along with your adventures, and I have to say you're absolutely delightful to watch on your YouTube videos because you have this sisterly bond. And if you have a sister, you know what I'm talking about, or even a brother, I suppose. But where social media wise, what's the best place for people to follow along?
Well, I would say Instagram. We have our local aromas and foodie sisters. We have two local aromas and foodie sisters in Italy. And Facebook. Those are the social medias that we have. Again, Foodie Sisters in Italy and Local Aromas. And of course, our YouTube channel.
And our YouTube channel is Local Aromas. That is, we have over 100 videos of everything that you could ever imagine. It's very, you know, quick recipes. In our YouTube channel, we share many tips, many insights, many local recipes that, you know, non-Italians don't even know that exist, but it's part of our culture.
That's true.
And obviously, we do not go in depth because in our online cooking school, the great thing about it is that it's just like step by step. So like how to make this pasta shape. Now in like the homemade pasta, we have over 28 different pasta shapes. And in the entire school, we are going to continue adding because there are over 300 different pasta shapes. So it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time to keep adding information. And so in the cooking school, you get very detailed with step-by-step videos. And in our YouTube channel, it's just like fun, quick recipes, 10-minute videos.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, you have your work cut out for you to tackle 300 different pasta shapes. So good luck with that.
Thank you. We just published last month, we published the pasta shape of the month of August. We're in the month of August, yes. Is a pasta with inside edible flowers. So it is gorgeous. Beautiful.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Wow. We're really going advanced. Okay.
You think you're going advanced, but it's actually not.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, and that's inside your course, so that is something to look forward to. Well, I think we're kind of out of time here, but wow, what a fantastic survey of fresh homemade pasta, Benedetta Valeria. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Grazie.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for taking the time and sharing your obvious passion for Italian cuisine.
You could
pasta.
Tell.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. What did I tell you at the beginning of the show, Valeria and Benedetta? How great are they? They're just so much fun to talk to. They have such a passion for what they do. Extremely knowledgeable, not only about homemade pasta, but about all things Italian cuisine. What a great episode. I'm so glad I had a chance to connect with them and bring them to you. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, and as it came up a couple of times in the episode, first of all, if anything you heard in the episode, if you want to check out Local Aromas, you can, of course, head over to localaromas.com. But if you want to check out their cooking class or their Facebook page or their YouTube channel or Instagram page, I will put links to all of that in my show notes page over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/165. So don't feel bad if you can't remember all of that. Just head over there and it will be there waiting for you. If you do nothing else, I really think you should just head over to their website and look around. They have a lot of great stuff on there. It's a beautiful website, lots of good videos, and just information in general on what they're all about. So Valeria, Benedetta, thank you so much. Really appreciate you spending the time with me. That was a lot of fun. All right, everybody. Well, that is going to do it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend with me, to spend with my great guests, to learn about homemade pasta, and to just enjoy a little home cooking conversation. If you know friends or family who might get some value out of this show, I would love it if you would tell them about the show, show them how to find podcasts, how to subscribe and listen along, how to join our community over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group if you're interested in the Facebook group. But you know, really, I am just grateful that we are building this little community together. So thank you so much. All right, everybody. Until next time, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.